Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back, Blessed Business Tribe. I'm Hunter Haley, your host, and I have a question for you. Did you know that only 1 in 3 people are cut out to be entrepreneurs? I don't know how actually, you know, factual that quote is, but I was listening to an interview of a successful business entrepreneur, and that's what he said. He said only 1 in 3 people are really cut out to be entrepreneurs. And I thought that was very interesting, and he's a pretty brutally honest fellow. And it got me to thinking, because like in the past, I struggled with that, because I used to think anybody and everybody is cut out to be an entrepreneur. Everyone can own their own business. Anybody can start something, right? And that's fundamentally true in some regards. But at the same time, I have come to realize what he's saying is like sort of accurate in the fact that not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur. It's not that they don't have the capabilities. It's not that they are, you know, just like not smart enough. It's not really what it's about, because entrepreneurship is not really about being smart or being intelligent or having brilliant ideas or things like that. Really, an entrepreneur is someone who takes something and runs with it. An idea, they're a self-starter, there's a lot of qualities we assign to entrepreneurs that actually can be said of people that work inside of a company, but just applied differently. So some of the same skills may be applied differently, and we don't call it entrepreneur. Some people call it intrapreneur, like inside of a company, coming up the ranks or whatever of a large company or something. But I think we discredit that some people will work better under someone else's vision, because really, the differentiating factor for an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, is generally the vision of that person. Are you a visionary person who's okay with taking a lot of risk? If you're very risk adverse or you're not very visionary, those are going to be really difficult things to overcome in your entrepreneurial journey, because it takes those two things. You have to have vision of what can be and, you know, see what's possible, and some kind of plan on how to get there, right? And then be able to actionably execute that, right? And so if you don't have a vision for what can come of this, then what are you? You're never going to start anything, right? Whereas other people, they'll see the opportunity based through the lens of the visionary leader who's given them the action, but contrary to the visionary leader, they may have even more skills when it comes to executing on that idea. Because I've found, and myself included, a lot of entrepreneurs are generally, a lot of them are very visionary, you know, those type of people, that big thinkers, big dreamers, they have big ideas, but when it comes to getting things done, sometimes they struggle with that, right? And not all entrepreneurs are that way. Some are very good at, you know, operating things and stuff like that. But that's just some of the, you know, observations I've made. And really kind of what brought this to the surface for me is I was having a conversation with a young lady in our church. Great young lady, very talented, lots of skills. Someone in the past, I'd be like, man, you know, she could really go start her own thing. She could really be a business owner. And she could. She has a lot of the skills. But she told me, she said, you know, I really think that I best fit helping, basically in so many words, executing someone else's vision. I can take someone else, work inside someone else's business and take it to the next level. And you know, I had to step back and really respect that and say, she understands her lane and where her skills are and where she thrives, because she may not necessarily be the person to be super visionary to go come up with an idea and take a lot of risk. Because that's the other thing is, you know, obviously you have to have vision, but you also have to be a risk taker. She may value security a little bit more, things like that. I don't know exactly her situation, but what she's really good at is executing on someone else's vision. And I know we talk about this as the Blessed Business Podcast, and it's not just solely aimed at entrepreneurs. We talk about business leaders and things like that. So if you're in business or you're an entrepreneur or you work a job, things like that, where the whole point of the podcast is to help you financially, to help you in business, to understand business as mission better and how to apply it in your day job or in your business or et cetera. And so while we don't necessarily exclusively focus on entrepreneurship, there is a big focus on that, even though it's not exclusively what we would talk about. But I want to just take this episode to kind of step back and help you evaluate this question. Should you start your own thing or stick with a day job? And this is a very interesting question to ask yourself, especially if you're considering entrepreneurship, because full-time entrepreneurship may not be the right answer for some of you listening today. I hope it is for a lot of you, and I hope you take the launch course that we have, and I hope that you take the income accelerator course, which that works whether you're working a day job or a starting your own thing. But the thing about it is you want to have clarity. Neither path is right or wrong. There's no right or wrong answers in this case. It's the goal is to get clarity on what is the right path for you. And so I found that interesting just to kind of think of it in those terms. Should you start your own thing or stick with a job or a day job? And so there's a lot of pressure actually in society to have, you know, this hustle culture and this myth that you are only successful if you own a business. And I talked about this in a previous episode where I talked about the four ways of making money. It's the cash flow quadrant from Robert Kiyosaki. There's employee, self-employed, business owner, and investor, right? Well, you really, to build wealth, you either need to be in the business owner category or the investor category, or both, ideally, right? Because if you get to the right side of that, the right side columns there, that's where wealth is really built. However, you can be self-employed or you can be an employee of somebody else and build someone else's company and get compensated well and then plow that money into an investment. And your investments, you may actually end up making more long-term and having better retirement than the actual business owner of the business themselves. Just because you're a business owner doesn't mean you necessarily make more than everyone else. It's not about top-line revenue. It's about bottom-line profit that you take home. And some employees make more than their boss does. And so if you are intentional about putting that back into investments, you can have a much more stabilized income, a lot less risk, and you can do something that is powerful and feels very fulfilling without taking as much risk and without having to come up with your own vision for the future, right? And so there's no shame in not owning your own business. However, there are some benefits to entrepreneurship that I would like to share with you. And even if you're not a full-time entrepreneur, because I think that's more what he said, 1 in 3 people are cut out to be an entrepreneur. I think he meant more like full-time or successful or like big-time entrepreneurs. But I would still argue that there is a benefit to everyone dabbling in entrepreneurship, if I'm going to put it that way. And there's kind of 4 different types of entrepreneurship, these kind of 4 buckets that I want to kind of talk about. And then we'll wrap up with some questions to ask yourself to determine kind of which of these buckets that you fall in and, you know, is entrepreneurship the right path for you? Or if you're running a business, but you're frustrated, maybe this is a time where you can kind of hit the reset button and say, okay, is it time for me to quit and go get a regular day job? I remember several times in the entrepreneurial journey, my wife looked at me and she's like, sometimes I just wish you would have a day job, right? You'd go get a job. And you know, there are times when that makes sense. You know, what you're doing, the economy's changed, the business landscape has changed, or your situation has changed, or you tried something and you learned a lot from it, but you know what? It's really not what you should be doing. You should go take the skills that you learned running and starting a business and then go help somebody else grow their business. So again, there's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. These are just different paths, right? So, but let's talk about these 4 different types of entrepreneurship. One is the side hustler. Okay, so these are people that are, what I'm going to say is dipping your toe into the water, dabbling in entrepreneurship. And this is where I think almost anybody, arguably almost anybody, could do this. And to varying degrees and levels, okay? So this is very low risk from the standpoint you're not quitting your day job, you're not taking away, you know, significant amounts of investment that's going to keep you from investing in your retirement, hopefully, or not you know, taking away from being able to pay your bills to invest in the side hustle. But instead, it's something that you can start a freelance job. You can do something moonlight on the side. You can come up with like a passive, you know, another way of making income part-time on the weekends when you're or in the evenings when you're not doing this. And some people look at this as like driving for Uber or washing windows or doing pressure washing or walking dogs. Or there's very low levels and there's very high levels of what a side hustle could look like. It could look like a programmer working, you know, on Upwork on the weekend or something like that, and then work his day job during the day. So this could look a lot different for a lot of different people. But I think what determines whether it's a side hustle or not is kind of the time commitment and revenue percentage of like your overall income percentage. If this is like 50% of your income or more and like you're living off of it, you've really transitioned from side hustle to like part-time business owner. And there is definitely a difference there. Whereas if this is like, hey, this is just vacation money, or this is a little extra that we can make to reinvest in other things, or this is kind of a hobby that kind of turned into a money-making opportunity. Those are the side hustles that I think are valuable, because the value is not in making a lot of money in like a entry-level side hustle. And there is value in that. It may help you get out of debt. It may help you accelerate some of your savings goals. It may help you invest. It may do all those things, which is great. I think people should have a little side hustle to have an alternate, you know, income source in case something went south with your day job, right? So I do think it's good to have that on the back burner. There's kind of an insurance policy there. But the value you learn in that experience is worth as much or more, probably more, infinitely more than the actual amount of money that you're making. Because understanding sales and marketing and finance and how to create a product, how to deliver it, customer service, there's so many different aspects that you get to experience when you're doing your own side hustle that you're wearing all the hats. And you don't get to do that in your day job. In your day job, most people are hired to do like one thing, right? I'm an IT guy, or I'm a marketing guy, or I'm a cleaning lady, or I'm a CFO lady for some big company, or whatever it is, right? So whatever your day job is, you do that thing. And it's usually a fairly narrowly defined, in America especially, but in modern society, we focus on specialization. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But you kind of get this siloed experience. And the problem is if AI comes in and takes over your job, or if you only work in that specific slice of your industry for your entire career, you don't really have a grand picture of how everything works. It's very rare to be able to get an idea of that. And so when you start something on the side, you know, start your own little lemonade stand or sell something online or buy and sell, flip something or whatever, right? It's not just about making money. It's about understanding the process of business and how it works. There's so much value in that that will then be directly applicable to how you go into a meeting and have an intelligent conversation with the higher ups at your organization. It will help you to understand, oh, I'm doing this marketing thing, but the sales team needs this and the implementation team needs this. And like the customer service support, oh man, this is going to create a problem for them because man, this is very confusing how we did this, you know, sales ad or whatever, right? And so by doing that, it's going to be infinitely valuable to accelerate your career and be able to give you a more well-rounded approach in how business works. And if you use that knowledge appropriately, it could actually help you get a better job and land your career. And you may never go full-time doing that. It may never be more than just fun money that makes on the side, right? It may lose money actually, but that's okay because it teaches you a valuable skill set and gives you experience that you wouldn't otherwise get. So that's the side hustler. And I think everybody to some degree and some level can participate in entrepreneurship like that. I mean, just like kids can start a lemonade stand. When I was a kid, I was mowing grass for my neighbors and stuff like that. And okay, maybe I'm weird. I have been an entrepreneur for a long time. So maybe my perception of reality is actually not reality for most people, I guess. But my thought is as a young person, as a kid, as a college student, whatever, we don't think anything about, you know, someone, hey, you know, go sit dogs for the neighbor, or, you know, clean their pool or mow their grass, or, you know, but that's a form of entrepreneurship in and of itself. And it teaches you a lot of things. So I recommend that. But even as adults, we kind of leave that behind, but there's opportunity for us to do things like that too. But anyway, I'm majoring on minors here. The second kind of level up from that would be a part-time business owner slash part-time employee. And I actually lived in this realm for a long time early on in my career. So I had my own thing going. I had a web design and marketing business. Even before that, I did technology consulting where I would go in and fix people's computers, and I'd drive out to people's houses, usually older customers who were struggling to get their printer set up, and I would go and get their printer hooked up to their computer and do whatever. But on for my day job, I worked for an IT company, right? And so we did that, or I had a different job. And so I would do that different job. And then on the weekends, or, you know, in the evenings, or when I had time, I would do this part-time business owner, starting this consulting project or doing this deal I was doing, right? And so that is a good way to transition and to learn. If you can find a flexible job that will allow you the freedom to be able to keep a consistent paycheck, even if it's a, you know, kind of a base, right? It's not necessarily enough for everything that you're doing, but it gives you a solid income to, like, okay, at least the rent's paid every month, right? And then, like, I have to really go hustle to eat, but at least we've got rent covered, right? And so it really helps. I actually just this week had an interview with a guy where he just got out of high school, young guy, really impressed with him. He actually messaged me on social media, and he direct messaged me and said, hey, I created a video for you because I noticed that for your Blessed Business podcast, you don't really do a lot of videos like you should. And I agree. And if you're listening to this, I definitely agree. And we're going to try to do more of that. Maybe he'll be able to help us with that. And so he was trying to pitch me on this idea of, like, this monthly subscription and all that. And it was great. It's a brilliant idea. But I was like, okay, the thing is, though, you're not quite ready for that. And I feel like I can, working with me, I'll be able to invest in you and give you a lot of ideas and experience that you can go do more of what you're doing, because he didn't have any clients yet. We would be his first client. But I said, I really appreciate your hustle. I appreciate your honesty and your integrity. And, like, he was a good Christian young man. And I was like, you know what? How about we do this? How about I hire you as an intern? I'll give you a lot of flexibility on the weeks that you don't have client projects. I hope you go get a whole bunch of clients. On the weeks that you don't have clients, come work for us, and we'll pay you an hourly wage, and we'll kind of establish kind of where your base is, and then we'll kind of go up from there. And so we don't know how long he'll be with us, but I was so impressed with him as a young man and kind of his initiative and everything. I said, I want to invest in him, and there'll be some things obviously he could help us with, but he's going to be probably in that part-time business owner slash freelancer slash part-time employee for a little while to A, get the skills and experience to continue to build his resume, but two, it provides that base level of income where it's like, okay, I know I can at least go make X, but it provides a lot of flexibility to go do the other thing. A lot of jobs, like sales jobs, and I know a lot of jobs are not that flexible, but a lot of sales jobs or non-front-facing, customer-facing jobs can do this. So if there's, like, a remote working position that you can do, that you're working in marketing or you're working in accounting or something like that, whereas those may be a little bit more flexible so that you can kind of flex the time a little bit more. Obviously, don't steal from your employer. You want to be doing work for them when you're employed by them. And when you're not employed by them, then you can go do other things. But they may provide a little bit more flexibility that if that opportunity to do the photo shoot comes on a Friday afternoon comes up and you're wanting to be an aspiring photographer, you can kind of move things around in your schedule and get things done, you know, Friday morning, and then work a little bit Saturday afternoon to make up for it, right? So there are different types of jobs that allow you to have that flexibility. It is more challenging to find those, but it's not impossible. And so if you're wanting to, you're kind of in that in between, you kind of started as a side hustle, really thinking you want to become a business owner or self-employed, but, like, it's kind of that in between, it's hard to take the leap. This part-time business owner slash part-time employee stage could be a very viable option, where it provides a base level income and some stability, but it gives you also the flexibility to start pursuing your dreams. And I've been able to do this myself, and this is a great way to transition without jumping off a cliff financially. And so that's good. But then kind of you get to the next level of entrepreneur, you know, and that is a full-time entrepreneur. This is someone that is very high-risk oriented. This is the high-risk, high-reward group of people, and you eat what you kill. Right? Like, you have to go out and knock it down and bring it, drag it home, as Dave Ramsey says in some of his content, in order to make a living, you know? So it's all resting on you. It's all riding with you. And so this is not for the faint of heart, but it's also, and it's not really better than the other options. It's just a different calling. And that's where I'm at now. And I've seen people jump cold turkey from working a day job or getting out of high school or whatever, and boom, launch right off into entrepreneurship. And that's great. That's awesome for people that can do that. But most of us are probably going to experience more of a gradual progression. And at any one of these stages, from side hustler, part-time business owner, part-time employee to full-time employee, I'm sorry, I can't read. Entrepreneur. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes and I can't even read my own notes. But full-time entrepreneur, anywhere in that continuum, you may hit a snag and start getting burned out and say, you know what? I really liked it when it was a side hustle and we made fun money. And I learned a lot of things that I could apply in somebody else's business. But you know what? I'm just not cut out for doing this day in and day out. Sometimes it's you've got the wrong business idea. Sometimes it's the wrong business model. Sometimes it's just timing. It's just the business is not right. And I've actually jumped 3 or 4 different types of businesses. I've started a bunch of different ones. So sometimes it takes a while to figure out the right line of business, even though you are an entrepreneur. So you have to recognize that. But there are times when you just get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm evaluating this. I could go out and get a job and have more time with my family, make more income, leverage the skills I've learned with my side hustle and kind of scale things back a little bit, and I would actually be better off. And I'm okay with that. And I will talk about here in just a few minutes some of the questions to ask yourself to kind of evaluate when you get to that point. And again, there's no shame, there's no pro, there's no con. There's this being a full-time entrepreneur is not better. It's just a different calling. And so then the last category, I would call this the quasi-entrepreneur. This is someone who's not necessarily as involved in daily operations, but owns assets. So like this is the successful person who's bought into some rental properties. We call that, I mean, that's technically they've got a foot in the investor world, but it's not as passive as like owning dividend stocks, right? Like there's a little bit of a business aspect. You're probably going to have an LLC. You're probably going to have to collect rent. You're probably going to have some accounting. You're going to have to sign contracts. Like, even though it's a fairly passive business, there's still elements of it that it's a business, not purely an investment. Now, if you had 1,000 houses that you bought and you had a company that managed them and all that, well, that may be more investor or business owner category. But these are these quasi-entrepreneurs that have invested in certain things, whether it's businesses or ideas or land investing, silent partnerships, e-commerce automations or whatever, where it's more of a passive income stream, more in that kind of that investor mindset, if that makes sense. And a lot of these people have 9-to-5 jobs or full commitments, you know, for their time elsewhere, but they use entrepreneurship for like kind of building long-term wealth. Like you buy a property and you're Airbnb-ing it out in Florida, right? And, you know, it makes a little bit of money and it's paying itself off so that someday that house with appreciation may go from $500,000 to, you know, $800,000 and it's paid for in 20 or 30 years and you didn't have to pay for it. So it's a way to kind of build wealth without necessarily having like a huge business operation. But if you think about it, over the long haul, it's been increasing your net worth a little bit every year, even though it wasn't making a huge amount of cash flow and it wasn't your primary income source. So this is what I would call the quasi-entrepreneur that kind of, you know, parades around as an investor. A lot of times you'll see people try to say, you know, become an investor today, you know, get started in real estate, you know, flips and Airbnbs and this and that. That's a job. It really is, okay? You're at the very least, a quasi-entrepreneur. And there's a lot of people that can do that, but may not necessarily want to be a full-time entrepreneur. And there's a lot of people who like have like a passion and a drive for the type of work that they're doing as an entrepreneur, but it doesn't quite pay enough or it just hasn't been grown to the point that they can do it full-time yet. So they're doing that part-time employee, part-time business owner. And then there's some people that it's purely a side hustle that, hey, it makes a little extra income. It's a stepping stone to something greater, or hey, look, I'm getting a valuable experience out of it. So those are kind of the 4 buckets. And I'm going to kind of wrap up with this. Here are some questions that you can ask yourself to decide, am I cut out for this? Should I start my own thing? Should I continue with my own thing? Or should I go get a day job or stick with my day job? And here's one question. Do I crave ownership and autonomy? Or do I prefer stability and structure. Now, everyone wants ownership and autonomy and like, yes, I want to be my own boss. But no, seriously, think about this and say, is that something I crave? Is that something I can't live without? Or would I rather just have the stability and stress-free, you know, less stress, maybe not stress-free, but less stress and have the stability of having a structured job that I can like show up and be there and the job's going to be there, right? So that's something to think about. And then the second question would be, can I handle risk and delayed rewards, or do I want a dependable path? As an entrepreneur, I can tell you, there's some days that I get a big paycheck. I may get a paycheck that's like really, really, really big. And then I may go like 4 or 5 months without getting a paycheck, right? And so that is a really difficult thing for some people who are especially used to like a weekly or, you know, monthly paycheck. It's really hard to handle that up and down and like, okay, I don't know how to manage this. Now, I've learned to manage it because, you know, I know that within real estate, you know, we may have a six-figure deal that comes in, and then it may be a while before we get another payday like that, right? And so you have to, what we do is we save a lot of money back. We have this bill money account where it's like, hey, look, we're just going to park a bunch of money there. And I don't start getting nervous until that account starts getting closer to zero. And it's like, okay, there's no deals in the work. I got to work, make something happen, right? And so I've learned to kind of manage that risk by having a buffer so that I can live in the in-between, right? I don't just go blow everything when I have a big deal that comes in. And so as an entrepreneur, I'm just wired that like, I'm okay with living that way. But there's some people who would just absolutely lose their minds if they had no idea where their paycheck's going to come from next month. And I can honestly say I have next month, I have a few ideas because we get a couple deals in the works. But like, if you ask me where my income is going to be at 6 months from now, I have no idea for certain. Now I have like plans. I have things that are in progress. We have developments. We have projects. We have real estate. We have technology business. I have a podcast. I have different things. Like I have things that I believe that by putting effort into it, that it's going to continue to generate money. And I've got history to kind of like, you know, provide evidence that it should continue to make a very good income for me, but I don't have any guarantees, right? And so there's a lot of risk and delayed reward that comes with that. And some people, like, they just can't sleep at night with that. That's just like too much risk. And so they would rather say, hey, look, I want to get a good job, make a stable paycheck, and just invest that in some other kind of business, some other kind of investment, something like that, that I'm building wealth, but I also, in the process, I have some sort of sanity. I'm not going to lie. Entrepreneurship, especially certain types of entrepreneurship, it can seem a little bit of insane, right? And that's okay. And for those that are wired that way, you get it. I get it. Like, I couldn't be anything else. But I also understand where someone else would really, you know, struggle with this. Everybody's personality is a little different. Third question, am I ready to be the visionary, or would I rather build with someone else's vision? I'm the type of person that when I get something from IKEA, the first thing I do is throw away the instructions. It's like, psh, who cares about that, right? I saw the picture on the front of the box. I have an idea of what I bought this for. Even if I have a few extra nuts and bolts left over, like, that's part of the process. If I have to go to the garage and get an extra board and nail something in, like that's just how I roll, right? And if you're that way, you're probably nodding your head right now and saying, yes, I get it. And then there's other people, like my wife, thank goodness, she gets the instructions out, and before she'll even open a pack of screws or bolts, she's reading the instructions like, okay, step one. And I'm like, step one. Oh, that's so boring. But you know what? That's so useful. And honestly, the more successful I get in business, the bigger my businesses get, I realize I need more people like that in my life. And we've hired employees and different people, and I'm starting to get very intentional to hire people with skills that complement who I am. But I need people in my life who read the instructions, if that makes sense. I'm the visionary. I'm the leader. I'm the risk taker. I'm like jumping out there. And like, I was meeting with someone today. We were riding over a farm and like casting a vision for what the future of our company is going to be. And like, that was great. But you know what? Tony was in there getting our books all set up so that when I sit down with the banker, I actually have something to present them, right? And say, oh, okay, here's actually where the numbers are on our business. And so you have to ask yourself, are you ready to be the visionary? Are you ready to be the one who's like setting the direction, the compass, and pushing the needle and moving things forward? And everyone comes to you and says, now what? I think I would, especially as you get bigger and you have employees, everyone starts coming to you and say, now what do you want me to do? And I remember the first time I had employees and like they were asking me, what next? What do I do now? And I had realized I not only have to come up with the only with the things for me to do, I have to come up with stuff for them to do and keep them productive as well. And there is a challenge in that. And it's something you have to think about is, are you ready to not only lead yourself, but lead a team or lead a business, right? Or do you say, hey, I know this other person has got a big vision for the future. They have got a grand plan. We have similar goals and values, and they're willing to compensate me. They can't build it without by themselves because they're a visionary. I'm going to go help them build their vision because I have like a micro vision of what I can do to help make their vision come alive. And I think I could do very well at that and get compensated for that. There's a huge value in that. But you have to decide which of those you are. And then next, I would say, this is a good question. Would I rather manage people or master a specific skill? Because when it comes to business owner, you're going to have to manage. You're going to have to manage people. Even if you're a freelancer, right? And you do the job, right? You're a self-employed freelancer. That's great. That's fine. But you're going to have to manage CPAs. You're going to have to manage bookkeepers. You're going to have to manage your tax person. You're going to have to manage that marketing person who does your marketing. Like, even if they aren't your direct employees, as a business, there's so many different aspects of it that you're going to have to talk to the insurance guy. You're going to have to manage relationships with other people, even if they aren't your direct employees. And so you're going to have to manage people. Or do you want to master a specific skill and get really, really good at this thing? Accounting, finance, marketing, sales, you know, whatever it is, right? And I'm going to get really, really good at that thing. And I don't have to worry about all the other things. I can focus on my singular area of expertise and get really good at that. If you would rather do that, it's not saying you couldn't be an entrepreneur, but you're probably going to have to manage people to varying degrees as an entrepreneur. And so if that's something that terrifies you, drains you, or something that you just really don't want to do, you need to have a good plan in place because there's going to be a lot of that. Either you have a good plan to hire someone who is a good people person who can manage them and you go do your really good thing that you're really good at that makes a lot of money, or you're going to have to manage people. So that's another good question. And lastly, do I want to build something scalable or just make some extra money and impact? If I'm doing this just to make an extra $1,000 a month, there's much easier ways to make an extra $1,000 a month than building a large company and trying to be an entrepreneur, right? If I want to go from making $5,000 a month to $6,000 a month or $6,000 a month to $10,000 a month in income, there are ways to do that without being a full-time entrepreneur. You can go get a job making $6,000 or $7,000 a month, and then you can have a side hustle that's very low, energy taking, right? You have to be strategic with it, but you could build up to having a side hustle or that quasi-entrepreneur who has kind of an investment on the side that makes a little extra money and you hit your target goal, right? With way less stress than being full-on, full-bore entrepreneur building a big company, right? And so if you're just wanting to make a little extra money on the side or something like that, then you may want to just consider being a side hustler. But if you want to build something scalable, if you have a vision for something that is bigger than yourself, that's going to help a lot of people, and like you're passionate about it, and like no one in the world is solving the problem just like you think you can, you might be an entrepreneur. You might be looking in the mirror and you may be looking at a business owner in the making. So anyway, so this is something you need to be honest with as you ask these questions and evaluate it. And again, there's no right or wrong answers. You know, 1 Corinthians and Ephesians talk about, you know, the body of Christ and how we all the body parts are important. If you didn't have a foot or you didn't have a hand, you know, if everything was a mouth or everything was an eye, well, how boring would life be and how impractical, right? And so understand who God made you to be, what your skills are, what your desires are, how you like and thrive operating in the world that you've been placed in, and then just do it. Don't try to put yourself in a box. Don't say, hey, I have to be an entrepreneur to be successful. Is it one of the best and easiest paths? I think so. But are there other viable alternate paths? 100%. Finding something to invest in and a good career path, those are awesome opportunities. And we need people like you. I need people like you because I can't do this on my own. And on the other side, is if you're stuck in a 9-to-5 and you want more ownership and autonomy, if you have that risk reward mindset and you can handle that, you are a visionary and you want to be more visionary and you want to manage people and you want to build something that scales and you've got a passion for what your idea is, you might be looking at it's time to start evaluating a little bit stronger entrepreneurial track, right, than what you've done up till now. So anyway, this is an episode that I didn't think I would, if you had asked me a couple of years ago, I didn't think I would give this talk. I wouldn't be giving this episode because I literally thought that everyone should be a full-time entrepreneur. I know that's kind of naive, but I'm just so driven in that way. I just can't imagine life without it. I tell people all the time, I would make a terrible employee because I've only had one full-time job in my life, and that was an internship for less than a year. But I had to come to the point where I realized that's not normal. And most of you out there are like, yeah, you're really weird, Hunter. We all know that. And so it's not that my journey has been better. Quite honestly, it's been a little nerve-wracking, and every one of you out there that liked roller coasters would probably not have enjoyed the ride riding with me on this up to this point. And I can say that, you know, looking back, it's been a crazy wild ride and I've enjoyed it, but there have been challenges. And if I was not cut out to be who I am and operating in my God-given calling as an entrepreneur, I would be extremely miserable. I'd probably given up a long time ago and would have wasted a lot of time and a lot of years trying to build something I really wasn't designed to do. And so you need to evaluate this. We need Christian entrepreneurs. We need Christian business leaders who are working inside someone else's business and growing it, developing it, and being an influence in their communities, in the businesses that they're operating in, taking business as mission to the workplace. And so whether you're working for someone else, whether you're starting your own thing, whether you're somewhere in between, we need you. And we need you to embrace business as mission. And we need you doing the right thing, the thing that God's called you to do, the thing that you feel passionate about. And once you've identified that, once you've identified the track that you're on, that you need to be on, go for it. Do it. If you're supposed to be an entrepreneur, you know what? Forget all the risks. Obviously take them into account, but like, don't let anything hold you back from being the entrepreneur that God's called you to be. Maybe take the launch course that we have on the website to help give you a little bit of a shortcut because you're going to make some mistakes along the way. And that's going to helpfully, you know, minimize some of that, but go for it. If you're supposed to be the best employee that's ever been and provide a lot of value, go take the Income Accelerator course and learn how to provide the most value to the most people possible so that you can advance your career and get compensated accordingly, right? And so whether you're a business leader, whether you're a business owner, neither one is a right or wrong path. The right path is the one that you follow God's direction on. This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.